Welcome to Manage Your Tools. This week, never believe the first report from the front. The questions this cast answers are, what do I do when I hear rumors? How should I handle input that surprises me? And should I respond to every request or input? Hey, y'all. Maybe you have some idea about training your team right now. Maybe your team is remote from you. Maybe you want to get some training in that's private to you and your group, and maybe even specifically targeted to what's happening with some, you know, notes from us about, hey, this is what's important. If so, you should know that we offer virtual training for private groups via our client business, and we are happy to train your team virtually in our normal content or even something that's maybe a little bit custom. If you're interested, if that sounds like something that might be helpful to you and your team, you can contact us and specifically Maggie at maggie@manager-tools.com. And she can talk to you about scheduling, which might be easier if it's virtual, and what you might need and how we can fit that into our virtual training platform. Oh, this is going to be so fun.
It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one. I mean, I don't think, I could be wrong, but I don't think a manager exists who hasn't put out a new policy that they've briefed extensively. And as soon as that process has gone live, they've heard rumblings, heard problems, and then thought to themselves, should I take action? Is this isolated? Is this widespread? What do I do? Oh no, is there something I need to do? Or kicking off a new project, right? And again, you've planned for it extensively to the best of your abilities, which your best direct is running. So you're pretty sure it's going to work. However, suddenly there are rumors that your project is failing before it's even started. Again, we think to ourselves, what should I do? Should I insert myself? Should I send out a message? Should I go and take over the project itself, thus accidentally undermining my direct, or both, or what do I do?
Mm-hmm. Today, we're going to talk about never believing the first report from the front, the green tail story.
One of my favorite stories.
Not doing anything and increasing your attention to this project.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so funny because we've talked about this kind of recently where lately been using some military analogies. And this one is actually specifically more an adage, which is never believe the first report from the front. That's a military adage. It applies to all organizational life, not just the military. And we should point out that some of the stuff that the military says doesn't apply to all organizational life, as we've discussed previously.
Yeah.
This one, though, is about all organizational life, not just military. The adage is a great reminder of several kind of unwritten rules that, as a manager, it's a good idea to keep in mind in your day-to-day professional life.
Mm-hmm.
My most recent encounter of this was more like personal life.
Yeah, it happens everywhere. You're absolutely right. When we start off an effort of any kind, we've got to assume. I mean, there's going to be some bumps and there's going to be some bruises. And we're going to, I think, throughout the course of this description, given the fact that you're listening to it, we want to paint you a mental picture. Paint a mental picture for yourself of the classic electrocardiogram, an EKG, or more properly, ECG, and it's showing a pattern of heartbeats. Now, overly simplified, there's a flat space between heartbeats, and then there's a beat, which looks on our graph like a big spike, preceded and followed by a smaller spike down. Now, you may be a cardiologist, you may know a cardiologist, and you may be thinking to yourself, whoa, lady, that is really an oversimplification of something that's much more interesting and complicated. And you'd be right. But again, we're painting this mental picture so that we can think about it as we go through this analogy and this description.
Most people also haven't had probably an EKG.
Yeah, that's probably right. I agree.
Yeah.
I've had a few, personally.
The best part of the EKG is the noise, not the pattern, but that's okay. The pattern, that up-down spike that Sarah's describing, really, which is representative of the electrical impulses that cause your heart to beat, as Sarah mentioned, much more complicated than what we're describing. The up-down spike is how the start of virtually any human process or system works.
Yeah.
It's an event. And the big spike up is how starting or a process or project feels. Uncertainty, anxiety, people do what they think they're supposed to do, and then human imperfections and interactions, life and its interruptions and chaos and misunderstandings, lack of communication, poor planning, all these things conspire to create a messy beginning. And so you get that up and then slide and down.
It happens with almost every new thing we do, doesn't it? It happens so often with the new things that we do that we should have learned our lesson. I guess is what I'm saying, right? I mean, we should know by now that there is going to be that initial spike and it's going to be a little bit rocky. And because there's going to be that rocky initial spike, we need to plan meticulously about beginnings. However, even though experientially we know said information, we usually don't.
It's so funny, right? Because it's like humans, we seem to have this very short memory. Yeah.
Such a short memory.
Good example. Recessions.
Yeah, exactly. They happen.
Almost like they happen almost all the time.
Right.
And I'm only saying this because I've been reading this book about the economy. And guess what? It's pretty normal. And somehow, every time a new one comes, there's this, oh my gosh, panic. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And it's the same with projects.
Exactly.
We forget how hard beginnings are.
Right. And we forget how hard they are. And even if we do remember, we think to ourselves, yeah, there needs to be some serious planning. But I mean, that's hard, right? It takes a lot of work is what I'm saying. It takes a lot of work for that planning. So we're like, should we? And I mean, it's not like we didn't tell you so. That sounds ruder than I meant it to. Guys, this is why we've given the same guidance for years about breaking tasks down into their smallest components. It makes for more frequent reporting, more frequent communication, and it smooths out that initial disruption of effort that, again, happens every time and every time we forget to plan for it.
There's a rose-colored glasses thing. When you look back on a project, your brain automatically paints for you. You know, if it was a successful project.
Totally.
Your brain paints for you a prettier picture than what really occurred.
Yeah. So you forget.
You do. And we forgive you because we do too. It's just that it's rare to have detailed planning. And so we get that spike and then things go less perfectly. If a human is involved, perfection is not achievable.
Non-existent. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone makes mistakes. Do not assume that because there is a detailed plan, so even if you followed our guidance, that things will go according to the plan because they never do. This is, again, we said these unwritten rules. This is where the other unwritten rule comes in. Planning is everything and plans are nothing.
Yeah, we all heard that one before.
And it's partner, friend. Everybody has a plan until they get hit, which is super similar to no plan survives first contact with the enemy. And in this case, loss of scope, under budgeting, you know, lack of proper time constraints, these are all the enemy. And you're in range at this point.
Exactly.
Now that you've started this perfectly planned project.
Yeah, this perfectly you're in planned range. Project. You are. You are in range. And what all of these things mean is, given the lack of planning, the lack of scoping, all of these, the forgetfulness of all of us at the beginning of a project, it leads to the fact that the first reports, when we start things, are always going to be misleading. Remember back to our analogy of the ECG. The report is about that first initial spike, but that spike is only one tiny part of the overall image of someone's ECG, things are likely to calm back down, right? That spike is going to go back down to its original level if we, as managers and leaders, stay calm ourselves.
Mm-hmm. You're kind of the, well, you're not kind of, you are the example of how we should handle these things.
Mm-hmm.
As the manager, as the leader, people are watching to see how you'll respond to these first reports from the front. It's not that the first report is wrong necessarily. It's just misleading.
Yeah.
Again, misleading and wrong are different things. First reports are too small a snapshot at a time where things are starting to depart from the plan. Additionally, let's remind ourselves that when you're first starting a plan, that first moment of inertia, that spike might just be that first, oh my gosh, we're going to get started. Yay.
Yeah,
and just kind of, yeah, like there's some inertia happening there too. Because of that, we've got increased anxiety, even though we're shooting all over ourselves today. We should be able to keep in mind that the best laid plans often go awry, which we also know we've been here before. And somehow we see that first spike and we panic. We send, you know, we make noise. Oh my gosh, this isn't going well. And it's not necessary. It's not productive. Mm-hmm. It's also very normal.
Yeah.
Because of that, and even if you, like on the inside, you're thinking to yourself, oh my gosh, because it might be, if it's your plan, you could on the outside, you know, respond well. So effective managers, right? They don't overreact to the first information they get. They react. So do react and don't overreact. Stay calm. When things seem to be going perfectly, let's not get overjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Say, thanks, that's good news. Stay even keeled. Remember that this is the norm. Mm-hmm. If the team acts like, oh my gosh, we want to celebrate, tell them, hey, it's not over yet. Stay the course, stay vigilant.
Yep.
If you're in a group meeting with all kinds of green on the board, offer continued encouragement in a manner of fact tone. You know, good news, let's keep at it. Let's stay even keeled. Let's not overreact.
Right. The team, as the manager, as the leader of the team, they're taking from us a sense of success, a sense of how they should behave generally, right? If they're panicking and we panic, then it's going to result in everyone panicking. And to Kate's point a moment earlier, if they start cheering, celebrating too quickly, and we start celebrating with them too quickly, everyone takes their eye off the target. No one's paying attention to success criteria anymore because we all think, oh yeah, no worries. This is a ball rolling down a hill. And it might not be that yet.
It really might. It still could go awry. There could be something out of your control.
Yeah.
You know, we can't assume continued success. It's the hot streak fallacy. And that's why people respond the same way, by the way, to recessions. When things are going up, 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 there's this assumption called the hot streak fallacy, which is if like a basketball player makes a bunch of shots, oh, well, then he'll continue to make the shots.
Yeah, he's on a roll.
And the odds of making that shot every single time are the same. Doesn't matter if you made the last 600 shots. Does not matter. The odds are the same every single time. So let's not assume that our hot streak will continue. Let's focus on getting things done, continuing to do so. And that takes behavior every single day.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same in reverse, right? If things are going haywire, let's not panic.
Right.
I mean, I don't know why you'd want to. Some people feel like they should, or I don't know, but people do. And let's say somebody sends you a text, a worried text, or you get a phone call about a problem. You say, thanks for the input. Let's keep at it. Please keep letting me know. Love that.
Yeah. That's great. I mean, and if, as managers, we can, the analogy I keep thinking of while Kate's talking is that duck with its feet flapping wildly under the water. On top, it looks cool, calm, and collected, but its feet are flapping away. Now, just because you're calm, cool, and collected, you're not, whether it's going good or poorly in this case, you're not overreacting, doesn't mean they won't insist on overreacting themselves. Sometimes being that cool duck on the water is enough to ease the concerns. But sometimes you may need to verbally become involved as a means of calming them down, right? You might say something if an individual is overreacting and that is incessant, right? That is continuing, something along the lines of, look, let's not overreact. Yeah, that's not great, but this always happens at the beginning. Stuff goes wrong because we can't plan for everything. Keep at it and keep the communications coming.
Mm-hmm.
You might need to say something.
Sure, sure. It could be too that what's gone wrong is actually big and you might see it as a failure in planning. Yeah. Okay, make a note. And don't make a big deal of trying to solve the planning problem during the communication of the problem. Improving planning usually can't happen while the plan is being implemented. And that's what hot washes are for at the end of the project.
Yeah.
Bear in mind, too, y'all, there's a difference between getting things done and how we respond to them. We're not suggesting that people should call you, you know, if somebody calls you up and says, hey, there's a problem. And you say, well, okay, let's not overreact. And what they take from that is, okay, well, we can just relax about it.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's still a need in some cases for us to take action to fix the problem. So we're still going to engage in checking the boxes, you know, getting our stuff done. That doesn't have to come with panic or yelling or overreaction or, you know, oh my gosh, like there should be urgency and action without an outward emotional display, essentially. Yeah.
The lack of anxiety.
Right.
Exactly.
And we say a lot, like, stay frosty.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, we're also asking you to project frostiness. Know that the first report is misleading because we're not exactly on target every minute of any project. You're constantly flying towards the target and not directly at it.
Yeah.
Because of that, it is actually a misdirection. It is actually misleading that what the first thing you hear would cause a different end result than you were looking for.
That's exactly it.
Send a message to the team through your own behavior and response that this is normal. Because it is. And
because it is.
Stay the course. Because the course is never straight. Even if it's a perfect plan, you're never pointed directly at the target.
Hey, y'all. It's that time again, that is January, when a lot of people are looking for new jobs. What that means, what that might mean for you as an organization or as a manager who may have had some of the folks on your team leave a job recently, you could be looking to hire. We'd recommend, if you're in that position looking to hire and don't even know where to start, purchasing the Effective Hiring Manager book. You can purchase it on Amazon, either in Kindle or in hardcover version, or if you prefer a signed copy by the author, you can order it on the Manager Tools website. And in the book, we'll talk about effective hiring principles and process, creating and asking interview questions, how to interview, how to listen, how to probe, and all of the things that you may want to consider if you've got new hires. If you're looking to purchase on our website, the address is manager-tools.com/products. All right. Something that, an analogy, Kate mentioned it in the outline itself, the green tail story. The green tail story is something that we tell many times at Manager Tools. I might be exaggerating almost every time and I'm teaching the Effective Manager Conference. I refer to probably once this story. And so it goes, when someone tells you, you have a green tail,
which can't be true.
Yeah,
Impossible.
We can all agree on this. It's clearly impossible. People do not have tails, let alone green ones. If someone tells you you have a green tail, they're an idiot. And when two people tell you have a green tail, again, something that's clearly impossible, it's a conspiracy.
Those guys are in cahoots.
Exactly. But when seven people tell you have a green tail, you best turn around and look, because there is something there that resembles a green tail. There's
something
a lot of
on
data.
Your shoe or something. I don't know.
Exactly. So, folks, this analogy, this brief story is just a different way of teaching us the same lesson about that first report. Now, look, whether the report is true or it's not true, we know that us having a green tail, which in this case, the analogy being a project that we've planned and we believe is going to be successful, immediately dropping off a cliff and failing, is highly, highly unlikely. I mean, we didn't plan every tiny detail. We didn't ensure perfection before we began. But we've been doing this long enough. We are smart enough. Enough of the success factors required to ensure a successful project are in existence. The very first report being suggestive of the fact that this is a complete and utter failure is incredibly unlikely. Effective managers don't react to everything. They gather data, they wait, and they see.
It could be that something's going on, right?
It could be.
Yeah. If the reports continue as the number of people who are talking about your tail increases,
mm-hmm.
if the reports continue to be dire, get involved. When multiple reports from multiple people suggest you have a green tail or a negative diagnosis of your project, start making changes.
Mm-hmm.
And not right away. When the leader reacts to everything, confidence becomes lost. And you are the leader and they are watching. They start to ask, why is the boss involved? What's wrong? Is this going to crash? Might I also ought to distance myself from it? The truth is, beginnings are delicate.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not overreact. Let's wait and see.
Exactly. So we would recommend then at this point, don't do anything except for increasing your attention.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the latter half of this guidance, never believe the first report from the front is go see.
Mm-hmm. That's the full
right? That's the entire thing.
Yeah.
Right? You don't believe the first report, you check it out. Trust and verify is something we say often, right?
Yeah.
There is the famous American World War II general, General Patton, once said, I never want to find my commanders in their tents. I want them at the front. Now, he didn't mean he wanted his commanders going out there and taking over the battle and inserting themselves and being the individuals doing all of the work. Rather, what he meant was he wanted them close enough to the front to experience what was going on rather than simply sitting back and believing, trusting, and not verifying those first reports.
Yeah. In your tent is where you get the reports. At the front is where you see what's going on.
Yeah.
Effective managers and leaders, when reports suggest that there should be concern, increase their attention. Not react, but think. Is this just the normal spike at the beginning of everything? How confident am I in my plan and the people who are executing it? How can I learn more to make sure that this first report is truly accurate? Even if misleading, because it could be, we have to ask ourselves and watch, which I would suggest maybe we should be doing at the beginning of a project, watching more closely than normal anyway. And in addition to that, which you're watching it like a hawk, okay, pay more attention to the reporting that you get. Ask more mm-hmm. questions, again, without emotion, even tone, not a lot of raised eyebrows or large gestures. Ask more questions without emotion when you get reports. Look for chances to talk to people rather than just reading these negative status reports that you're getting.
Mm-hmm. This piece to me, Kate, is a little bit reminiscent of our coaching model. We often recommend at the beginning of coaching one of your directs to increase their skill set that managers start off with small daily deliverables. And a lot of managers, when they see us do that, think to themselves, oh my gosh, this is micromanagement. You mean every day a deliverable? Yeah, at the beginning, in the first week, in the first 2 weeks. And then as we start to have enough data to ensure us that, okay, things are going well, things aren't going to go awry, we've gotten past that initial blip, that initial spike, we can decrease those deliverables. One every couple of days, one per week, whatever the situation calls for. But until you know what the situation calls for, vigilance is what's required, not overreaction. Mm-hmm. And again, to your point a minute earlier, I mean, you said this, but if reports or status continue to indicate issues, if you get seven people telling you you have your green tail, get your team together, call a meeting, discuss it. Don't just ask for everyone's input. Now that's going to lead to a dump fest on the project, right? Everyone's like, oh my gosh, this is the worst. Let's just all get in a room and complain about how awful this project
seriously.
Is. Exactly. We're not getting together so that everyone can talk about their feelings in respect to these project, initial project failures. Rather, we would have you lead a review. Show the plan to the team. Have people go around the room discussing their status. Don't start brainstorming, throwing ideas around for how to change it. Not yet. It's too soon. Slow down. First reports are misleading. And if you react too soon, you're going to be throwing out what could have been a really good plan, throwing it in the garbage, and you'll be involved in the activity itself, which is the problem. Managers getting involved in that fix.
Not only will you have to be involved in the fix, you'll be trying to create a new plan while executing towards the goal. And I can promise you, it's so much harder to execute towards a goal without any plan whatsoever. Mm-hmm. You're going to triple that by then trying to create a new plan at the same time. It's not going to be great. It's going to make things much more difficult. And even though they're balking at this first set of steps, you know, for some reason, for fear and new stuff and all that.
Absolutely.
Having any plan at all is so reassuring to people that should you choose to proceed without one by getting rid of the one that you have, you're going to find panic doubles.
I mean,
people are so dedicated to plans, even if it's something simple or something that doesn't really work. I have a friend who was telling me she uses Google Maps to route her errands because—
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Google Maps, like if you put in three locate, maybe it's not Google Maps, but she was using an app for maps to do this. And it's so funny because I've seen her make the plan, which is really just, hey, I need to get these four things done. And then really not respond positively if the plan gets thrown off, like if somehow she has to go to one place instead of the other. And what's funny about it is this plan isn't necessary.
No, but it's reassuring.
It's a plan.
Certainly reassuring. Yeah.
Right. So
you're absolutely right.
Let's not embroil ourselves even more.
Right. And part of the problem with this us throwing the plan out in this case is that we want you, the manager, the leader, to stay away from making lots of decisions and telling people what to do. To Kate's point, without a plan, the only plan is what did my manager say I should do next? And what that does is it further teaches your team to expect your active involvement when future things go wrong. Last time, there was this really bad project. My manager got involved, they threw out the plan, and they told us exactly what to do. It's going to mean that they'll either suppress negative information in the future or wait for you to take over. Mm-hmm. Again, that's a bad lesson to learn. If things go awry, my manager will just come in and fix it. As a general rule, we would recommend that effective managers not solve problems that are created at levels below them. For a multitude of reasons. It's incredibly expensive. This problem was created below your level. You stepping in to fix it costs the organization more money. It's ineffective, and it's the opposite of what we want as leaders. I mean, it doesn't encourage our directs in future to step up and take an active role. If we continually respond to these kinds of, I'm going to say gripes, these kinds of concerns, and just simply take things over.
Mm-hmm. If you're wondering why your directs are always bringing you problems, it's because you're always solving them.
Yeah, exactly.
And there are problems that are yours to solve.
Mm-hmm.
You need to make some distinctions in order to reduce the amount of problems your directs bring to your desk. It's their responsibility to solve some. Otherwise, organizations wouldn't be necessary.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a situation where, oh gosh, we have multiple people. So all of us have to use our skills. Everyone has problem-solving skills. Ask your directs to use their problem-solving skills.
Yeah.
Because, y'all, things are going to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's the nature of all human endeavor. If you jump in, you're doing other people's jobs. You're making their jobs smaller in that process. You're making your job bigger, which I would suggest you don't have time for.
You don't have time for a bigger job. We know you don't.
It's interesting because I believe that people feel that way and are really excited to jump into these kind of situations.
Yeah, I agree, Kate. I think there's lots of managers who thrive a little bit on being the one that rescues.
Sure. Yeah.
The one that fixes the problems, the solver, mm-hmm. the fixer. And I can understand that. I can certainly understand that as someone who likes to solve problems and fix things. But solve problems and fix things that you need to solve and fix. Solving everyone else's problems for them is not a good use of your time or the organization's resources, for that matter.
Absolutely. We're asking you to allow your directs to grow. Their job has to grow when they grow. Pay attention. Think. Don't act. Lead.
Nice work, Kate.
That's all we've got today, y'all. Thank you so much, and we'll be back next week with a new topic.
Bye, Kate.
Bye.